Welcome to Living Word Ministries with director and Bible teacher Debbie Blank. Each week, Debbie examines current events through the lens of end times Bible prophecies. Please visit our website for information and past programs at livingwordministry.org. Now let's open our Bibles to focus on truths from God's Word with Debbie Blank.
We have stood amazed at how so many things are happening so quickly that match up with what the Bible says the world would look like in the days before Jesus Christ returns. It's like things have just started escalating faster and faster. Last week, we talked about how the world powers are using the Hamas massacre of innocent Israeli citizens to reward those Palestinian terrorists with their own statehood, without even including Israel in the negotiations. These world powers are, in effect, taking land that belongs to the sovereign state of Israel, won fair and square in wars perpetrated on them, and giving that land to somebody else. Their rationale is that Israel's the problem in the Middle East. All the problems would end if both Israel and Palestine had their own state. Well, that fake news is exactly what it is, because Israel isn't the problem. There was not peace in the Middle East before Israel became a state. There isn't peace now. If there's a two-state solution, there won't be peace, because the Palestinians want to destroy Israel. They've made that clear in their charter. Today, we're going to look at the history of how Israel arrived at the problem that they're at right now. Look at what's changed since the October 7th war started, and see what God has to say about his land.
And I'm co-host Jackie Sailors. There's a series of maps online that's supposed to show the land of Palestine and the progressive encroachment of Israel as it gobbles up and takes over Palestinian land. As you look at it, you can see an increasing takeover of land with your own eyes, and it can seem like proof. But there's also a set of maps that show the progressive taking away of land that was promised to Israel. You can look at those and be similarly impressed. These map presentations give two contradictory stories. While they look impressive, they can't both be true. We may be looking at fake news designed to divide and manipulate public opinion. How can you know what's true? Well, today we'll direct you to some real facts about Israel that you can check out for yourself.
As a matter of fact, if you look at a map in the Palestinian territory anywhere, the map does not show Israel. It shows Palestine as controlling that whole territory and that land belongs to Palestine. So again, it depends on what you're looking at as to what you want to believe. But let's look at the facts. Let's look at real history to understand whose land this is. And then, of course, we get to the Bible to find out whose land it really is. Before World War I, the Ottoman Turkish Empire controlled much of the Middle East, but they supported the wrong people in World War I. When they were defeated, then the Western powers took over control of the lands that the Ottoman Turks had previously controlled. That's a lot of land. And what they did was they developed a mandate system where they put generally the French or the English in charge of those lands to help the peoples develop governments and entities within that land. That's not real easy to do when you have outsiders telling you what they want you to do with your land. It worked in some of the countries, but there's been war ever since. So clearly, the French and the English made decisions on who should control the land by not considering all of the people, just some of the people in the land. One of the examples is Syria. Syria is under French mandate. They gave that property to what would become the Syrian Empire, but they ignored the Kurds, who had a large portion of people in that area, but they were in opposition to the Bashar Empire that would take over Syria. There should have been two states there, but they only made it one. And there's been infighting ever since.
Well, they arbitrarily drew lines based on what made sense to them in England and what made sense to them in France. It's the kind of thing that colonizers do. They've been accused of being colonizers. And so they did this. It wasn't exactly right for the people of that area. When you talked about the Ottoman Empire, that was one of the greatest colonizers of all time. They took over all kinds of land by conquest and divided it up the way they saw fit. So history rolls around again, and here comes a change because of the victory of the Allied powers. So this is just a fact of life. This is what happened, for better or for worse. And that's what people are having to live with even to this day.
Well, the land of Palestine, which is what it was known as at that point. As a matter of fact, the name Palestine was given to the area that we know as Israel in 135 AD by Emperor Hadrian, because there had been a Jewish revolt at that time against the emperor, and he was so infuriated that he wanted all vestiges of the Israelites destroyed, including the name of the land. So he renamed the land from Israel, or Judah, or Samaria, Syria, Palestinia, and the name Palestine stuck. Anybody who lived in the land was known as a Palestinian, whether they were Jew or Arab or whatever their nationality was. So when the British Mandate took control of that land, what had happened was in 1917, the Balfour Declaration, which was a decision made by leadership in the English government, they determined that that land belonged to Israel. Well, the Arabs didn't really like that because they had helped the Allied powers and they'd been promised that they would receive some land. So that puts England in a little bit of a quandary. They're going to help the Jews and yet they're going to help the Arabs. So what they did to solve that, in 1923, they took Palestine, that was a huge territory that included Israel and modern-day Jordan, and they carved it up and gave 77% of Palestine to what is now known as the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, which is an Arab nation. So they gave 77% of the land that was promised to Israel to Arabs. Well, Israel said, you know, that's okay. We'll take the other 23% of it, because that was the land primarily west of the Jordan River. So Israel said, okay, we'll take it. But the Arabs wanted all of Palestine, because they figured if they'd ever lived in any territory, it belonged to them. Understand that there were Arabs living in Palestine and there were Jews living in Palestine. Neither one of them had a very big population, because under the Ottoman Turkish Empire, the land of Israel was desolate. It was invaded by the sands that blew up through Egypt. The trees had been cut down for wood as well as lumber to build homes. There were swamplands. It was desolate. But when the Jews came back in the late 1800s, they started making aliyah to their land because they saw the persecution that was taking place against the Jews all around the world. So they started migrating to this horrible piece of land, but it was their heritage. The Jews had owned that land for centuries, even though it was a long time before. As they moved into the land, then Arabs started moving to the land because the Jews gave them jobs. When the war was over and England started that mandate system, they had pretty much the same amount of Jews as Arabs in that land, both claiming that they owned the land. So what was England going to do? Now understand, the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians didn't exist as a group of people until 1964. So there never was a Palestinian nation. There was never a Palestinian government. They never owned any land in Palestine. There's no document saying that they ever owned anything of that land of Palestine, ever. They just came in as Bedouins and lived on the land so that they could work for the Jews. Now, the Jews, on the other hand, when they saw that things were going to probably heat up over time, they purchased land. They even purchased swampland because the Arabs who lived there were willing to sell the swampland because it was useless to them. The Israelis were trying to buy up as much land as they could. So when the mandate system took place, Israel owned quite a bit of the land. That put England in a quandary. Who were they going to support? And they couldn't make that decision. So from the time the mandate system took place in the early 1920s, until Israel became a nation in 1948, England couldn't make a decision. They finally turned it all over to the United Nations.
And the United Nations decided to make two states out of the sliver of what originally was promised to Israel. So when you talked about that chunk that was given to Jordan, that was one state, that was the Palestinian state originally, and then the other side to the west was Israel. So there was a two-state solution. I think the majority of people that live in Jordan are Palestinians. So then you move to the west and decide, okay, we're going to divide this up again. So Israel was given less and less of what it had been promised. So you can kind of visualize that map and how things were being taken away from Israel versus being taken away from a country called Palestine, which you rightly said never existed in the first place. In fact, when you were talking about the swampland and the desolate land and the nomads, that's exactly how Mark Twain described it in his book, The Innocents Abroad. There was not a country established there that somebody is taking away. The Jews bought the land, they restored the land, they broke up rocks, great big rocks and little tiny rocks until they finally had soil, and they planted and they irrigated. And so when that became land, as prophesied in the Bible, that was going to be restored, then yes, it made sense for these nomads or whoever was coming through to actually get jobs there because the land was being restored.
You can go read about that in Ezekiel 36 and 37. God said exactly what would happen, which has over the last 150 years. So we have a situation where the United Nations made a resolution in November of 1947. It's called Resolution 181. If you Google that and look for the map of what their resolution included, they divided up the land so that the Arabs would have three pockets of land. In order to get from one of their three pockets to the other, they had a little sliver of land that they could drive through or walk through to get to the other side. And Israel, on the other hand, was on the left and a little bit to the right of it, and then on the southern part. The reality is you couldn't control a country like that was so divided. And most of what Israel was given was the Negev, which is the desert. How do you bloom the desert? They actually have, but they were given this sliver of land of what they were promised, and it was divided up in such an impossible way, and yet Israel said, yep, we'll take it, because it was a foothold into their land, and they were excited to have it. So on May 14, 1948, they declared statehood on this land that was given to them by the United Nations, which represented all the nations of the world. However, the five Arab countries surrounding Israel, and did you catch that? They're Arab countries. There's actually 22 Arab nations. So why do the Arabs need another nation in Palestine? They don't need it. They just want it. Anyway, the five Arab nations surrounding Israel went to war against Israel. This is known as the War of Independence that took place on May 15, 1948. They had told the Arabs who lived in the land that Israel now had as a state, leave there. We're going to destroy the Jews, send them to the sea, and then you can come back in and get your land and the Jews' land surrounding you. So many of the Palestinians left of their own free will. They are now internationally called refugees because people say they were kicked out by the Jews. They were never kicked out by the Jews. They made their own decision to leave the territory so they wouldn't have to deal with the war. And then they come back and get more land, which they were never able to come back in and acquire. So the Arab nations went to war against Israel in the War of Independence. When the smoke cleared 15 months later, Israel had significantly more territory than they had been granted by the United Nations. Understand, Israel won that land. So when we went to war against Mexico, we won that land. Are we giving it back? No, Israel should not be required to give it back. However, the land west of the Jordan River, kind of a backwards B that surrounded Jerusalem, the land in East Jerusalem, and then the Gaza Strip were controlled by the Gaza Strip by Egypt and the West Bank and East Jerusalem by the nation of Jordan, because Jordan was an Arab nation, still is. And so they were able to control that West Bank and East Jerusalem. When you went to Jerusalem in those days, there was actually a wall that went right down the middle of the city that divided it from east to west. Today, East Jerusalem is the old city of Jerusalem. West Jerusalem is the modern city of Jerusalem that has expanded significantly. So when this first war ended, we had what was known as the West Bank because it was the West Bank of the Jordan, which was run by Jordan. That's why more and more Arabs moved into those areas, because it was controlled by the Arab nation of Jordan. This is 1948. All that will change in 1967.
And what you pointed out is it was the Arab nation of Jordan that had control over what Christians and Jews would call Judea and Samaria the biblical lands, but the nation of Jordan had control over those areas in east of Jerusalem. You rightly said Jordan. You didn't say Palestine. There was no country of Palestine that owned those territories. At that point in time, it was Jordan.
That's correct. This is 1948, 1949, remember, in the War of Independence. Well, so Israel and the West Bank of Jordan, or the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, lived that way for quite some time, until 1967. But then another war broke out from the Arab countries surrounding Israel who wanted to destroy Israel. Let me read you what the charter is for the Arab Leagues that they made in 1967. They said no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiations with Israel, because the Arab countries don't want that. So in 1967, again, the Arab nations built up their armaments all around Israel to destroy it. However, in 6 days, Israel was able to defeat them all and take over control of East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. All of that, which is absolutely unheard of, but it shows the power of God who wanted Israel to have that land. And yet at this point now, the Arabs considered the West Bank theirs, even though Israel won it in a war perpetrated on it. West Bank and East Jerusalem belong to them. That's all there is to it, nothing else, even though it's Israel's territory. I can't state that enough. Israel won all that land. It was either given to them or they won it. So in 1964, right before that, the Arabs realized that they needed an entity within the area of Jerusalem, specifically the West Bank and others, that would, quote, fight for the Palestinians, what they called the Palestinians. But again, there was never a nation or a people group called the Palestinians. So they developed a group called the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Now that right there says that they want to liberate Palestine from everybody except the Arabs. Their charter says, and they have never rescinded it, in Article 1, Palestine is the homeland of the Arab-Palestinian people. Keep in mind, Palestine is still the name they use for what is Israel today. They said it is an indivisible part of the Arab homeland. Indivisible means they do not accept that land they knew as Palestine is ever being divided. It is theirs and theirs alone. That's why they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They're going to destroy the Jewish segment in Israel and they're going to take it all over. That's their goal. They were started to do that. And ever since they were formed in 1964, they have fought Israel, both physically, but also in the International Court of Public Opinion. They have been offered since 1937 with the Peel Commission. They've been offered a statehood in the land of Israel 4 times. And every single time they've rejected it because it did not include all the land.
It's interesting, too, the founder, the original leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization was not Palestinian. He was Egyptian. They created this. And I think people are shocked to know that he wasn't Palestinian, nor was anyone else, actually.
That's right. Well, when the news media tries to depict Israel as the problem here, that's the country that has wanted peace. They accepted peace, every single peace agreement with the Palestinians that has been offered to them. It's the Palestinians who have an 87-year history of saying no to every peace agreement. When Bill Clinton was president and he was trying to make an agreement with Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin, he came out of those meetings at Camp David and said, the only word I ever heard from Yasser Arafat was no. No matter what was offered to him, it was no. No, no. And it's been that way ever since. They don't want peace. They want it all. So why do the Arabs claim the land? Well, some of them believe it goes back to Abraham, that that land was promised not to Isaac and his descendants, but Ishmael and his descendants, who are the Arabs. Though the Bible says just the opposite, because it declares the land east of Israel, which is Arabia, was promised to Ishmael, whereas it claims clearly that Isaac and the Jews were given the land of Israel. So again, they claim that Palestine is the name of their ancestors from the Philistines. Well, I'm sorry, if you go back and look at the history of the Philistines, they were sea-bearing people. They weren't land people, and they weren't Arabs from the east. They were from the west. so they're not coming from the name Philistines. There's no document proving claim to that land from them. As I said, there's never been a state there. There's never been a city. There's not been any artifacts found. And even a small number of Arabs claiming to be Palestinians live there. Now, let's move to modern history. And I mean more recent history. Israel has shown their good faith towards the Palestinians and towards a peace agreement by turning over the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians in 2005. Because Israel wants peace. They're willing to give up anything, including land, for peace. Now, that's pretty disheartening because God tells them that they're going to be judged for giving up their land. So as we talked about last week, Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians in order to form their own statehood, or at least to start the vestiges of a statehood. They even removed their own Israeli citizens from the Gaza Strip because the Arabs will never allow a Jew to live in their land. Israel was willing to go for peace, and what did they get out of it? They got a terrorist group named Hamas who took over that land and has not only shot rockets, tens of thousands of them, into Israel for the last 17 years, but they started the October 7th massacre. They've done everything they can to try and get rid of the Jews. And what's really sad is that the, quote, peace-loving Palestinians from the West Bank, most of them support what Hamas has done, which tells you that if they gain their own land in the West Bank as a state, they will do the same thing.
I saw a man on the street type of interview video online, and it was talking about asking each of these people from various walks of life, but all Palestinians, if they would accept coexisting in a two-state solution with Israel, and they all said no. And the reason why was because it's all our land, and they absolutely believe it fervently. And so what are the chances of a two-state solution working out when the people, and these were people of all walks of life, and they all came up with the same answer? Absolutely not.
And the Israelis, in poll after poll, have supported peace with the Palestinians. But now, the latest poll said no, because they've seen what the Palestinians have consistently done to them, and they don't want peace with them. So we also have the whole world turning against Israel. Anti-Semitism is at a rise like people have never seen since Hitler. Israel is the one who was raped and massacred. People were killed and taken hostage. And yet the people of the world are supporting Hamas because they're believing the lie that Israel is an occupier. Some people might see that in the West Bank, but the Palestinians controlled the Gaza Strip. Israel was not, is not an occupier of the Gaza Strip. They are there now because of the war. So no matter what anyone claims or what anyone says, that entire land, except for the Gaza Strip, which Israel has given up to the Palestinians, it's all Israel's land. They make the decision as to what happens in that land. They can close down the West Bank at any time. They can send all those Arabs into other countries if they wanted to. But they are a peaceful people, so they haven't done that.
As we talk about the world and how it's turning against Israel, and there's this rise of anti-Semitism, and then the world governing powers have their own plans for Israel, it's important to note that a planned UN vote in September of this year will give the UN emergency powers under certain conditions. How would that play out?
Well, there's concern that if the United Nations is given these emergency powers, they could use them for any reason they consider an emergency, which could be peace in the Middle East, which therefore could cause them to make any unilateral decision they want for Israel and Palestine without their approval. It could also concern us because the world powers don't want Donald Trump to become president of the United States because he supports building up the United States so that we're strong so we can help the rest of the world, whereas the powers that be want the United States relegated to a lesser position than the world power so that we can be controlled. Also, it fits in their United Nations Sustainable Development Plan of dividing the world into 10 entities. So that there is no superpower except the United Nations. So we, as the United States, could lose our autonomy. And as such, the United Nations would tell us what to do. So if the United Nations didn't want to support Israel in their direction, they could turn all the other nations of the world against Israel if they have that power. And that's what Zechariah 12:3 says. It says, all the nations of the earth will be gathered against Jerusalem in those last days before Jesus returns. That was never possible in the history of mankind until now, because you couldn't have all the nations of the world. They couldn't coordinate that. But now they can, and they can do it under the auspices of the United Nations. We have a problem in this anti-Semitism worldwide. The people have taken over what they consider to be the underdog, which is the Palestinians, against the Goliath, which they consider Israel. It is so opposite, as we've tried to explain. But because the world is believing the fake news that's being perpetrated, all with a desire to weaken Israel, the Anti-Defamation League in the United States reports a 361% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in the United States over the same time last year. England has a 14-fold increase. Germany has a 240% increase in anti-Semitic acts and verbiage since last year. We have seen a whole world shift against Israel, and it's going to continue. Because Satan's goal is to destroy Israel, and he will do it by force, he will do it by manipulation, he will do it by changing people's minds. And we're beginning to see all of that happen today. God says in his word that he will never bereave Israel of children once they have returned to their land. That means that the land will remain Israel's land until Jesus Christ returns. So I'm not concerned about it being destroyed, but they're sure going to go through a lot of trouble now and during the tribulation period in hopes of drawing them to their Savior, Jesus Christ. Expect to see more problems in Israel. They're going to happen. They're experiencing them on the northern border with Hezbollah, and they're going to continue to occur until Jesus Christ returns. But here's what we need to remember. The land belongs to God. In Leviticus 25:33, God says, "The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." He gave it to Abraham in Genesis 15:18, and he says and he warns his people in Joel 3:2, "I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat," that's in Jerusalem. "Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel." Now, we're talking here about a war at the tribulation period, the end of the tribulation period. And then God says he's going to bring them into judgment. Why? It says, "whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land." God is going to judge the world for dividing the land of Israel because it's his land. It's important to know the true historical facts and the modern day facts of Israel and the land that Palestinians will call their land, so that we can know the truth and we can support the right people, and the right people are God's people, Israel. Because God says in Genesis 12:3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, Israel." I want to be on God's side. I want to be the one to bless Israel, not curse them.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank. This is a listener-supported show. If you'd like to support this program or contact Debbie Blank, you may do so at P.O. Box 540-003, Omaha, Nebraska 68154, or visit our website at livingwordministry.org. Please tune in each week at this same time for Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank.